Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, July 17th. And just like your last vacation, an up and down trip to Las Vegas for the Detroit Pistons. Your boy Matt Shook here. A sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA and other things for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the summer. Today on the show, we are going to run through some of the news and notes, including a couple of transactions that you probably already knew about in regards to the Pistons, and also a big deal in the Central Division that occurred over the weekend that could shake up the plans for the Pistons, who hope to get back into the postseason this year. We're also going to run through kind of a Las Vegas look back for the Pistons, a summer league synopsis of sorts, starting with the main guys and how they performed. Then we're going to take a look at some of the diamonds in the rough who, if any of the summer league other guys caught on our eye here on Locked On Pistons. But first off, the summer league finals are set in Vegas. Portland and the LA Lakers in a summer league finals rematch. And that is what is wrong with this league. We all knew before summer league started the two teams that would be in the finals once again. And guess what? We are here just really tired of the summer league super teams. Same teams over and over again. Bad for the league, I say. Give some other teams a chance. Hope you all get the parody there. The parody. Man, we're just on fire here to start today here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But in Pistons news, I thought I forgot to pass along from over the weekend. The team made it official with Reggie Bullock picking up the option for the final year of his deal coming up. The no-brainer move of the summer for Ed Stefanski and the front office to pay $2.5 million for the final year in one of the best bargains of the league at Reggie Bullock, the shooting guard for the Pistons, who might figure into the starting lineup like he did the second half of last year. We will see how Dwayne Casey implements those players to start the season. Definitely a rotation piece, if nothing else. And a guy who performed well, certainly from three-point range, and also pretty good on defense throughout his entire time with the Detroit Pistons. And that shooting really came along this year. And he stayed healthy, which is the most important thing that's kind of dogged him throughout his career. The team also announced the signing of Zaza Pachulia, making it official with the veteran big man at the veteran minimum there. Very exciting stuff there, of course. The roster now set at 14, and that is without the signing of Khyri Thomas, the first of the two second-round picks, but the second hopefully to be signed by Ed Stefanski after Bruce Brown inked his deal last week. And that should come sooner or later for Khyri Thomas, the Creighton product the Pistons picked up in the draft. And that would round out the team roster at 15 guys, putting them right up against the luxury tax line. So Ed Stefanski's going to have to keep an eye on that with any deals that he makes throughout the season. They've also committed one of the two two-way deals to Keenan Evans, the rookie undrafted point guard out of Texas Tech. So not a lot of suspense left, to be sure, with the Pistons front office there with the rest of the offseason. But there was a little suspense with a couple of the Pistons division rivals, with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. And a big deal was made over the weekend, and I wanted to touch on that news as Jabari Parker signed a two-year deal with the Chicago Bulls for $40 million. That second year is a team option in year two, so pretty safe signing in some regards for Chicago. I listened to the Locked On Bulls guys on Monday to kind of gauge their reaction on the deal. It's mixed. There's a glut of power forwards there when you add Parker with Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, and Wendell Carter Jr., and you still have Robin Lopez there, so there's not like you could steal too many minutes from the five for those guys. Some Chicago fans believe that Parker could play the three, kind of a small forward wing position. I'm not sure, and we'll see how those knees look for him as he goes the year two of his recovery from another ACL tear, his second ACL tear in an already short career. A Chicago guy who played at Duke for 1 year, so another homecoming kind of along the same lines of Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, who played as Chicagoans in the city of Chicago over the last few years. Mixed results for those kind of homecomings in Chicago and other places throughout the league. Defensively, it would be tough to pair Parker next to Zach LaVine at the wing spots, but maybe those two guys will recover in a huge way this year, 2 years removed from both of their knee injuries. The numbers defensively for Zach LaVine were not pretty as well, in addition to Jabari Parker throughout his career. And there's also the matter of Parker kind of taking away offensive possessions from the development of guys like Markkanen and Wendell Carter. What looks to be kind of a nice front court of the future there with those two guys, and maybe you're stunting the development of them, bringing in a scorer and a guy who needs the minutes and needs the touches and needs the shots in Jabari Parker. But that's a lot of talented offensive players, and Fred Hoiberg will probably have them scoring. This is more of the roster that he envisioned than his first couple years that they had in Chicago. Year three, they kind of took a step back and started bringing in Markkanen type players and guys that were versatile and also had the youth and the scoring that maybe he desires, like he was kind of billed as that offensive guy of the future who can really understand what to do with NBA teams going forward. But overall, I don't like the move for some of those negative reasons that they stated above. It smells like the front office got a little bit impatient too quickly. I think another year of conceding that they weren't a playoff team would have been a better move. Maybe use that $20 million of cap space to keep it open for now and maybe absorb a contract that someone wants to get rid of by taking on that salary and then maybe adding on another future asset such as a nice first-round pick, middle of the first round, something like that come February or maybe even August if you see a team that gets desperate to make a move before the season gets started. You know, kind of the Brooklyn Nets model that Sean Marks is doing with that team during the rebuild. If you're already in a rebuild, you might as well do it correctly. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Jabari Parker, like we said, 1 year after the big knee injury that he had, once again, maybe he gets going and the Bulls have no choice but to pick up that option for year two. And we got possibly a team that is back in the Eastern Conference playoffs, maybe a year ahead of schedule. But I would have developed the young guys. But with the big money that they're paying for LaVine, when they match the offer sheet that the Sacramento Kings gave him, Gar Foreman and John Paxson, not affectionately known as Gar Pax in Chicago, maybe they feel like they're ready now. So we will see. From a Pistons perspective, it means another team to contend with in the Eastern Conference for playoff positioning. And when you're looking at the playoffs, obviously you throw in at least the seven teams from last year's East playoffs in contention for this year's playoffs. And maybe even Cleveland as that eighth team if you keep Kevin Love around and maybe decide that they want to keep going for it in the Eastern Conference, which is the notion that seems to be the choice for Dan Gilbert's organization as of right now. I'm of the opinion that Detroit is clearly better than Cleveland as it's currently constructed, but I saw Dave DeFore, a noted friend of Pistons Twitter and a podcaster himself, he had Cleveland making it currently despite LeBron James leaving and Detroit out still, so I guess I'll throw Cleveland in that mix as the eighth team searching for playoff hopes, Detroit being number nine, and then until further notice, I'll keep Charlotte in the conversation as well, not getting the teardown that maybe I would have figured quite yet after the Dwight Howard trade, and then maybe Chicago is in that mix too as the 11th team, hoping to get in the playoffs with a realistic shot of making the Eastern Conference playoffs. After that, I just don't really see who else you can throw in there between the Knicks. They're going to miss Porzingis for a good chunk of the season there. The Nets, no real notable additions for short-term success for Brooklyn. Orlando, I like the potential of Mo Bamba and keeping Gordon is a good move that's going to make them a lot better than they would have been without him. But we're talking about a 25-win team last year, and you'd have to make some huge strides to become a playoff team right there. And Atlanta, I think that's a team that's a couple years away still, a team that's going to be probably in the top five of the draft next year as well. Now, someone of that group that I've mentioned probably surprises and maybe is a little bit better than the writing off that I just gave them. But before that surprise team, like I said, we were just talking about 11 teams. So only three of those teams get left out. And I think keeping Cleveland on that list is pretty generous at this point, really. And Charlotte, who knows what they're going to do. Chicago, I would put on that level with the Pistons as teams that could probably have a pretty good season and get in towards the bottom part of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But so it's there, and no reason for the Pistons to have excuse, especially with a certain number 23 from Cleveland outside of the Eastern Conference right now. But speaking of some of that talent development, up next we're talking Summer League. Where's that talent going to come from? The Detroit Pistons to supplement the top three guys and some of the other rotational talent that is already there. And is it anyone from the Las Vegas summer roster that we just saw playing during Summer League these past 10 days or so? But you've heard me talk about advertising. Guess what? We're looking more actively for advertisers right now that I'm back in Detroit. So if your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% men and 80% of those between the ages of 18 to 44 are listening every single day, a good amount of dedicated listeners. If you're interested in reaching that group, Email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Well, did we find some dark horses in Vegas? Some diamonds in the rough? We will talk about that later, but first, the headliners from Las Vegas. We're not talking about Sinatra or Wayne Newton or even Elvis, Britney, or your favorite Vegas performer in Carrot Top, but the main Detroit Pistons from these last couple weeks. How did things go for Coach Sean Sweeney and the headlining Detroit Pistons in Sin City? Well, it started off horribly with the lackluster and terrible loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, then a close loss the following night to Memphis. The team took a day off and regrouped before finally getting that first win against the New Orleans Pelicans, and then went to the postseason, beating Minnesota with a 25 seed and then upsetting Chicago as far as whatever constitutes a summer league upset. Maybe I'm overstating that a little bit. But then the Pistons lost on Sunday to the LA Lakers in the quarterfinals with LeBron James courtside, checking out Josh Hart and his new teammates there. And Detroit bows out, going 3-3 on the couple weeks in Vegas. So everything you want as far as a team looking at getting as many looks as your guys as you can. You certainly didn't want to get the minimum of five games, so nice that they won a couple against some quality opponents in Minnesota and Chicago, showed some things as they recovered from getting lambasted in the first game of Summer League, so a little bit of pride, a little bit of Detroit pride there from the Pistons and Sweeney and those guys. The team was hampered before they even started, as Keenan Evans was out with a minor injury, the two-way player who would have played point guard for the Pistons, so he couldn't run the point there, and the plan was to have Luke Kennard out there at point guard for a bunch of minutes, but that didn't work out as he suffered a minor knee injury during summer league practice that kept him out of the entire summer. So overall, this was Henry Ellenson's summer league to put his stamp on it, and it was mostly a struggle for the third-year man out of Marquette. Three really bad games, two kind of good ones, and an average one as well for a guy who has the talent to really put up some huge numbers for the Pistons in summer league. He finishes by averaging 15.7 points a game, 7.2 rebounds, and 3.5 assists for the Pistons in six games this summer. The really bad news was that he shot a total of 30% from the field, and even worse from three. The defense is getting a little better for Henry. He's getting a little stronger, but it's still not there in any meaningful way. So not good all in all for him, but it's growing pains that the Pistons are going to have to deal with for the 21-year-old who is still the youngest player on the Detroit Pistons roster, even when you include rookies Khyree Thomas and Bruce Brown. I told you all throughout the last part of the regular season that Anthony Tolliver was likely gone. It just wasn't going to work out in terms of the limited resources that the Pistons had and that the need that they had in other places, including the backcourt and backup center positions. So the Pistons already had too much capital invested in the power forward spot when you talk about 2 years and $22 million left on John Luehr's four-year deal from a couple summers ago. And then a third-year first-round draft pick where you really have to find out what you have with Henry Ellenson. You got to roll him out there and see if he's worthy of keeping in mind with the forward-thinking plans of the Pistons, or if he's someone you're going to have to cut loose or let go in restricted free agency in a couple years. And that's what the Pistons will do this year with Ellenson. They're going to try him out. They're going to give him a real look under new coach Dwayne Casey. The news, however, is better summer league-wise for the rookies, as Bruce Brown was as advertised. He only got like 11 points a game last year at Miami before getting hurt and missing the last half of the season. So for him to show some offensive capabilities in Las Vegas was a nice bit of a surprise, I'll say. 11.8 points per game, 7.3 rebounds, 3 assists. The jump shot isn't there yet. We knew that. But hopefully the player development staff can earn their money and make it work with him in the long term. He finished the summer going 3 of 17 in the Lakers against the Lakers on Sunday. So obviously nowhere near a complete offensive game. And we'll see how that develops over time. It will be really interesting to see who gets more minutes in the backcourt as rookies for the second round picks. Which brings us to Khyree Thomas, who had less nice moments than Bruce Brown this summer, also had less games, missing the final two games of the summer with a minor injury, finishing the four games that he did play, averaging 9.5 points per game, 2 rebounds, and 1.3 assists. He showed off the defense. He was the two-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year in his final two seasons with Greg McDermott and the Blue Jays of Creighton. He showed the ability to knock down the corner three, but really not much else other than that defense and open shot making. It seems like Khyree might be ready to be a complementary player of much better teammates, maybe a little bit more quickly than Brown will be, with that ability to hit that open three, especially from the corner, kind of stay out of the way offensively, certainly not someone who demands touches, and then also on the other side of the court be more of a disruptive defender who can pair nicely with guys like Ish Smith and Reggie Jackson in the backcourt. However, maybe Brown has the more upside in terms of possibly being an impact player down the road, a guy who you might be able to build a little bit around offensively and still be fairly strong defensively as well. So he might be a guy who might be productive in garbage time as a rookie, but maybe Dwayne Casey in the front office and the coaching staff and the player development guys make a concerted effort to say that Khyree Thomas is the guy right away to get these minutes as a rookie, and Bruce Brown, you know, spends a little bit more time, effort, and energy in practices and working with guys before the games, and a lot of that sweat equity that he has as a young guy, as a rookie, is spent more on working on his game and less on being an impact player for the Pistons as a rookie. But did we find some dark horses in Vegas, some diamonds in the rough? We'll talk about that next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, which also features all sorts of podcasts that you should be listening to if you want to learn about your team every day. By the way, if you are not listening yet to the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio, a daily look at the Leos, I don't know what to tell you at this point. And speaking of long shots like the Detroit Lions, how about some of the long shots from the Pistons summer league team, the Diamonds in the Rough? Really no contributions early on from any of these guys outside of the top three from the Pistons, that, as we mentioned last segment. But as the summer schedule continued, there's four guys that I want to talk about here. And first off is Reggie Hearn. We'll give him the honor of being the first one we talked about, being that he was a two-way guy for the second half of last season with Detroit and the Grand Rapids Drive as well. But as I've stated these last couple days, I was just not all that impressed with Hearn. He knocked down some shots, but didn't really do much else. Nothing in terms of playmaking offensively. Solid defense, but nothing game-changing there. And as a shooting guard, and nothing more really, it's going to make it tough for him to reach the two-way level once again with Detroit, as Khyree Thomas and Bruce Brown's, the drafting of those guys, make the two spot one that you really don't want to waste a two-way spot on when you look at that valuable spot that the Pistons can use with their roster machinations there. So it might be time to say goodbye to Reggie Hearn in terms of being a two-way player, although maybe he will stick somewhere else in a two-way version, or maybe end up with the Grand Rapids Drive as being another guy on that group. I see it more, that spot being more of a big man or a spot for a bigger wing than Reggie Hearn is. A couple of those big men that we could talk about from Detroit in the summer league: Eric Griffin, who was a two-way guy for Utah last year. He got 6.7 points and 3.8 rebounds a game for the Pistons during summer league. A nice physical player, nice size, certainly not afraid as a veteran that he is. Even has a bit of a jumper, got outside a little bit there, and I'd say he performed well, showed out for the Detroit front office and coaching staff too. Johnny Hamilton, who played the last three games of summer league with Detroit, a seven-footer out of Texas Arlington, a 24-year-old from Trinidad who played his beginning of his college career with a prep school, but then moved on to Virginia Tech, but then was a graduate transfer at UTA, Texas Arlington, last year. In his 1 year at Arlington, he had set a single season record for blocked shots in a year for Arlington there. Like I said, coming from Trinidad, I'm thinking there might be some development to be had there, as he probably hasn't been getting good coaching on his game as long as maybe some of the other guys in his draft class. So kind of an intriguing prospect. He got 4 points and 6.7 rebounds per game in his three games with Detroit, but showed off the athleticism, hung in the air quite a bit. Didn't really get a lot of block shots, but showed that he might be capable with the wingspan and his ability to rise as well. The fourth guy on my list was my guy. We've talked about him on this podcast a little bit the last few days, Zach Lofton. He scored 10.8 points per game for the Pistons, not afraid of anything, a nice shot creator on offense. He shot 38% from three last year at New Mexico State, as he got all conference honors there. Bigger and more physical than Reggie Hearn as well, and I like the upside a little bit there more than Hearn. So I kind of liked what I saw from him with Zach Lofton, but if they're going to go with a big, then I would prefer maybe a project like Hamilton might be a good one there. Either way, some of these guys getting on the Grand Rapids roster might be a nice thing for the team over there as well, in addition to possible futures with the Detroit Pistons. As we know, the two-way deals are players that are, you know, property of the Detroit Pistons and can come up to Detroit for a limited amount of time in terms of days, not just games, but also practices as well. So days that they can spend with the NBA club. Whereas the Grand Rapids Drive, that's basically a pool of free agents. And while it seems like, from what we know about minor league sports, that maybe they would have more ties to the Detroit Pistons, they actually don't. teams can pick up whoever they want from other G League rosters and make them into two-way players or bring them on to the big club right away. But obviously, if you're a team like the Grand Rapids Drive in the G League, you want to be building cohesive teams and getting the fans interested in some of the same players year to year. So maybe guys like Speedy Smith, Reggie Hearn could be coming back to Grand Rapids if they are passed over for two-way deals as well. So that's the Summer League breakdown, the look back, the synopsis. I want to thank you guys for following us during this couple weeks from Las Vegas, and give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Lockdown Pistons Twitter account. And also check out the Facebook page. Give us a like at Lockdown Pistons-MattShook, and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. So this is your Lockdown Pistons podcast, your host Matt Shook, signing off for today. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great day.